Live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB. Brought to you by Mark Keitel with Realty First.
It's past the hour, 11:07 this Sunday. Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show. Hey, everybody. We are live online, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB. Online all the time, actually. ThinkGlink.com. I am pleased to announce that the Equifax Finance blog is finally live on its brand new site. Go take a look at it, blog.equifax.com. I'll put up the link on today's show notes. It looks really cool, and we've got a whole group of experts we would love for you to take a look at, and we're going to start posting on the new site again tomorrow. There's about 350 amazing personal finance pieces of information up in what we call the five pillars of personal finance: credit, tax, insurance, investing, and, of course, real estate. There are some amazingly smart people who are talking about all these things. It's great information from people who do it every single day, free to you at Equifax.com. Our number today, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Loads of information to talk about today. Dow was off 435 points this week. Ouch, ending down 10,817. S&P 500 down again on Friday to 1123. NASDAQ down again on Friday, 2341. What a crushing week. Crushing week for stock market indexes all over the world. Absolutely crushing week. And why was it so bad? Because everybody has sort of waken up to the idea that, wow, we're not in a recession, technically, but let's see. In the first half of the year, growth in the U.S. was about 1% or maybe a little less. In Germany, it was 1% or a little less. In France, it was dead even. Nobody's growing. So companies are making some money, but they're pocketing all the money. They're banking it away in case there's, I don't know, QE3, which at the moment doesn't look like anybody has the stomach for, but some people are starting to say we desperately need, which is really interesting. So it looks like Europe's in bigger trouble than anybody thought. Hello. Looks like Asia might be overheating. Really? Oh, that's huge news. And here in the United States, about 25 million people are still unemployed or underemployed. The job number, which was at 399, the unemployment number last week, bounced up to about a little over 400,000 again. That's that magic number. And then we heard that Bank of America is going to lay off at least 3,500 people and maybe 10,000, which, by the way, I think they can ill afford to do right now. You've got to deal with all these loan modifications that are going through, and my inbox is piling up with people who are having problems with Wells Fargo and Bank of America. By the way, I have somebody new to send your problems, your Wells Fargo loan problems to, and would be happy to do so, but I need your complete contact information, a simple letter about what happened to you, and your loan number. You can send it to me at thinklink.com, and I will try to escalate that for you. It's the same thing that we've offered for Bank of America. I can't tell you, folks, that this is going to completely solve your loan modification hell headaches, but it's better than a poke in the eye, I suppose. But we're doing what we can. 404-872-0750. I also want to talk today. It's a great day for me. This once a year in the summer, we host a block party, and today is our block party. And I think there are a million reasons to have block parties, but never more so than right now when neighborhoods are frazzled. There are a lot of foreclosures. I feel like communities need to pull together. And so I'm going to spend some time talking about what I think you need to do to pull off a decent block party, how to do it and not have it cost you an arm and a leg, and how to get everybody involved. I've been doing these. Let's see, we're going to live in our house. It's been 17 years. 17 years, that seems right. 17 years this October, and we've done a block party, I think, for 15 out of the 17 years. And 1 year we didn't do it. Our neighbors hosted it because we were renovating our house. But it has just been an amazing neighborhood builder. It makes everybody feel good. And we, you know, we have a whole line of alumni, people who used to live on our block and don't live there anymore. We invite them back. It's just great. So we'll talk a little bit about that. If you've held a block party, would love to hear from you, 404-872-0750. And, of course, we're opening up the lines for your questions about the economy, what's going on, what you should do, save, pay down debt, avoid getting ripped off, and what's going on with the bond. Man, it is mortgage interest rates hit another record low, If you can refinance and you haven't, you should. And those of you who listen to the show know that last November or October, I refinanced to a 15-year 3 and 3. Well, I had been at a 15-year 4.25%, which I thought I would never do better at. And then I refinanced to a 15-year 3.75%. Sam, and I think now if we refinanced, we probably could get 3.25% for a 15-year. I don't think it's worthwhile to do that and pay the money for it, but boy, was that an eye-opener. Not only that, but the bond market has so, the yields have fallen to a place where it's amazing. But Sam, and I think that for our investment property, which is now at a one-year ARM, we think we're going to pay probably less than 3% on that loan this year. Fed has let, you know, put out the guidance that they are absolutely not going to touch interest rates for another 2 years. That is the really remarkable statement. Maybe first time ever they've given that kind of long-term guidance. Everybody in Barron's wants to know, of course, how they know what's going to happen over the next 2 years, but I don't know. Maybe they have a secret crystal ball locked away with all that money in the basement. 404-872-0750 on the Elyse Glink Show. Let's go to the phones. Bob joins us on the line from Duluth. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Elyse. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What are you doing this Sunday?
Well, I'm doing sitting on my back porch enjoying the Sunday morning.
Oh, I did that earlier today. It was lovely.
Yeah, it's getting a little warm now.
Yeah. Well, it happens.
My mother-in-law is 71. She just recently sold a house in Dunwoody. She also owns a condo down in Dunedin, Florida, which she's renting out. She's debating about, should she move down there for a while, homestead that condo, and then sell it? And I just want to make sure that we're clear on what the law is about that.
Well, if she has a rental property and she moves back into it, and she wants to take the, does she have any profits on it? Is that what this question is about?
Yes, she does. Yeah.
So she would have to be in that home for 2 or 3 years, probably 3 years, to be able to do that. Maybe even as long as 5 years, because the laws have changed.
Okay.
And so it's not like she can move in, put her name on it, say it's a primary residence, sell and take up to $500,000 or $250,000 tax-free. So, and then even after that time, there's a percentage, I believe, of what she can take of the total amount. So if she's, is she single or married?
She's single.
Okay. So in a perfect world, she'd be entitled to take $250,000 tax-free on the sale of a personal residence. And by the way, she can only do that once every 24 months. So if she did it in Dunwoody, she wouldn't be able to do it in Florida till 24 months later.
Even if it's a different state.
Yep, even if it's a different state.
Gotcha.
So that's the first issue. But beyond that, she hasn't started the clock ticking on moving back into the condo in Florida.
No, she has not.
Right. So once she
she's
does...
She's living with us right now.
Well, very nice for you and your children if you have any.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, she really has to... There has to be the clock... The clock has to start ticking, and there's a... Let's say she does live there for 3 years or 4 years and then decides to sell it. But if she rented it for the 10 years prior, she might only be able to take a third... Because it's a third of the, let's say, total time. If the years, if it's 15 years and she's now lived there 5 years, she may. I have to go back and look at the rule. It's kind of arcane, but I think she might only be able to take a third of the $250,000 in profits tax free. She also has to still repay the recapture.
Right.
So I think it's pretty complicated. You guys should talk to her accountant and try and figure out what's going to be the best way to do that, and how is she going to make the most money. But I know for sure she can't just move right in, turn it around, call it a primary residence, and sell it, and keep the money.
Now, she could sell it, roll it into another investment property.
Sure, that's a 1031 tax-free,
right.
Absolutely. She can do a 1031 tax-free exchange, so where she sells it, and she rolls, and it has to be the proceeds, so it's the total sales price. She has to buy something at least that expensive. So if it's she sells the property for $200,000, she'd have to buy a new place for $200,000, and then everything just rolls over.
Gotcha.
The one question I don't know the answer to, and this would be a really interesting one to ask the accountant. Let's say you do, you roll it over, and you now have a new investment property. And she rents it out. I think you have to rent it out for a year as the new investment property.
Mm-hmm.
But if she then moves into it, what does that do for the proportion of the sale? So, for example, if she moves in, let's say that one has only been rented for a year, and then she moves in for 4 years, does that affect the proportion of profit that she's allowed to take? And that's a question I really don't know the answer to. It's kind of a detailed tax question.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks.
All right. You're welcome, Bob. Thanks for calling the show. 17 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with the calls. Marlene joins us on the line from Ackworth. Hi, Marlene.
Good morning, Elise.
Good morning. What's going on?
Well, I just heard you talking about the interest rates on mortgages dropping, and I don't have very much balance left on my mortgage. So in the last couple of years, every time I've called the place to see if it would be beneficial to refinance, everybody always says, no, just, you know, wait it out. I'm about 575 right now on a 15-year, but I've been paying an extra payment every year. So pretty much hoping to pay my mortgage off within the next 3 years.
It's not worth it to refinance.
Right.
I hate that answer. Well, but you're not paying interest anymore.
Right.
You're paying zero interest. So when you say it's at 5.75%, all you're doing now is you're paying yourself principal. I mean, if you look at your statement at the end of the year, there's almost no interest left.
Okay.
So
that's true.
You shouldn't feel bad about this. You should feel great about this. If I had an applause thing, I would go, yay, Marlene, because what you've done is... You probably chopped it by making one extra payment a year. You probably chopped the 15 years to maybe 12 and a half.
Right.
You're now 9 years in, or maybe it was 13 years, and you still saved a little bit. So already you were saving more interest than it would have paid to refinance. And now if you look at your statement, I would gather you're paying probably 95% principal, maybe 90%. So
okay.
it's absolutely almost no interest anymore. I would not feel bad about this whatsoever. In fact, if you think about it, on a percentage basis, you're probably paying even lower than 3.25% interest.
Oh, I never looked at it that way. That makes me feel a little bit better.
I'm so glad. We're just the happy people here at News Talk WSB.
Yes, we are. Thanks. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Have a good one. 19 minutes past the hour. Have you thrown a block party? I am throwing a big block party this afternoon, and all of my neighbors are invited. If you've thrown a block party and want to share the experience, good and bad, what happened to you, 404-872-0750. I have to tell you, even in the pouring rain, and it's a beautiful day today in Chicago where we're going to have this, but... Even in the pouring rain, it has always been a great time and a great way to activate your community. I'm going to tell you more about it coming back. We're going to take your calls, 404-872-0750. And, yeah, we'll take your calls about money and the economy and loan modifications as well. 20 minutes past the hour, I'm Elise Klink. You're listening to AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Klink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
26 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink. We're talking block parties and the economy today, or how about block parties on a budget? We're throwing our annual block party this afternoon, and I wanted to know what you guys are doing about block parties, if you've done them, if they've worked, and why you've done it. We started ours because we had heard a rumor that, or rather I should say, our neighbors came over and said, hey, the village wants to widen our street, and we think it's a terrible idea. And I said, hey, let's have a block party and talk about it, because I'm always about the snacks. So we did, and that was sort of the beginning of it all those many years ago. Marty joins us on the line from Murrayville. So, Marty, what about your block party?
Well, we had moved into a neighborhood of all new homes, a swim tennis neighborhood with lots of kids, and we were the people who didn't have any kids in the neighborhood.
Because that's kind of nice.
Well, our children were grown and gone.
Uh-huh.
And we would host the block party on Halloween. And it was really inexpensive. We grilled some chickens. Everybody brought a dish to share.
Yeah.
And, you know, a few Coca-Colas, a few adult beverages. And it was great. We moved out of the neighborhood and it stopped.
You know, it's funny how somebody doesn't keep something like that going. It's let me also say that we didn't even have adult beverages, although we were all adults. I don't know, it was like 5 years in. Somebody said, why don't we have wine at these things? And I'm like, that is a great idea. And somebody brought out some bottles of wine. It was like, oh, we're going to be here all night.
Well, it was great. Then the kids went trick-or-treating, and we lived on a hill. So we would be on the lowest part of the hill with all our bowls of candy, so the little guys didn't have to climb up the hills in their costumes.
Oh, so nice.
It was great fun, and I hope everybody has something that's fun to do for the whole family and for the whole neighborhood on Halloween. And, you know, it seems like a long time away, but it's only a couple of months.
I got to say, you know, it is. It's a good time to plan. We always think about what the strategic best time to do our block party. So we used to do it right as soon as we hit school was out, and we would do it then, and then or over Memorial Day weekend. But more and more people leave for these holiday weekends. Same thing with Labor Day. Even though we're all back at school, people go out of town. And so we've tried a bunch of different dates. In June, we've gotten, okay, middle of July, July 4th. Sometimes that's been a great year, a lot of people, sometimes not. This year, we're doing it this weekend, which is the weekend just before everybody goes back to school. In our, you know, in our neighborhood, we go back to school next week, or at least the high school kids do. My younger son, Michael, who's in eighth grade this year, he gets another week, and he is so happy about that, I might add. But really great to hear your experience, and I really want to encourage everybody to do it. I'll tell you what happened with our road widening when we come back, plus some tips on how to do this on a budget, because really, who wants to spend all kinds of money this year? 28 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glenk. You're listening to News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey, and midday every Sunday with Elise Glenk on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
7 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glenk Show. Welcome back, everybody. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time at thinklink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. In addition, check out what's going on at Money Watch. I have been blogging every day of the week. Top 10 places to live. You want to find those out? Go to moneywatch.com. We've also been talking about how mortgage interest rates hit a new record low this week. Absolutely unbelievable how low mortgage interest rates have gotten. We've been talking so far today a little bit about that and about how we're throwing a block party, our annual block party, and I wanted to give you some tips for block party on a budget. First of all, the reason we did this is when we moved in, we moved in October, and the following spring, our neighbors knocked on the door and said, hey, welcome to the neighborhood, and by the way, the village is thinking about widening this road that's in front of to a four-lane highway. We think that's a really bad idea, and I said, why would we want to widen this road to a four-lane highway for a village of 8,000 people? It seems a little bit like overkill. And what we did is, you know, but my response is always bring out the snacks. And so I said, why don't we invite our neighbors over and have a block party and talk to them about what's going on? I bet they don't even know. And so the guy who lived next door, who still lives next door, you know, who's very involved in the local politics of the village, we invited all these neighbors. We had about 100 people come, and everybody brought stuff. It was a little bit like Marty, our previous caller, said. People brought things, and we did the burgers and the hamburgers and the hot dogs, and we did some chips and the buns and the basic stuff and my specialty barbecued salami, which is unbelievably awesome, and so many people love it. We're now up to like 10 pounds of barbecued salami. No matter how many people come, the barbecued salami always goes. So we invited people over, and the neighbor got up, and we had a conversation about what's going on, and everybody was like shocked. They're like, our road is going to turn into a highway? That's terrible. And so we started to mobilize over the course of the year. You know, it started at the block party, and by the end of next year, we got other neighborhoods to join in. We got the school. We got them all worked up because the road was going to be widened and kids are going to be walking on it, which means it's not safe. And so we were able to get 200-300 people to every single village board meeting, and they were completely unprepared for this community rising. But it made all the sense in the world. You know, this is our block. We're living on it. And they're like, but it's safer for cars. And we're like, to heck with the cars. We want it safer for the kids. It was an argument the village couldn't win. And ultimately, they wound up widening by about 16 inches one part of the road that was very narrow, only enough so that it met the requirements that the two fire trucks could be side by side on it, just in case. And then they narrowed a portion of the road that was even bigger. And it has worked out fantastically well. And so we found that these, not only did we pull closer and able to really accomplish some significant stuff politically in our village, you know, this has been a great way to get to know the neighbors. And our neighborhood has been extraordinarily stable for the last 12, 13 years. Our couple of blocks around our house, well, nobody's really moved. And so we've all become good friends, good neighbors. We hang out together. It's just really terrific. And so I heartily recommend this. And here are some tips for doing one of these on a budget. Basically, go to Sam's Club or Costco. You buy the stacks of hamburgers. You know, it's like 25 to a package. You can buy some turkey burgers or chicken burgers, too. Then we buy their we don't buy the turkey sausages. We buy, it's like the chicken, Costco chicken sausages that are a little spicy. We like those. We bought some buns. We bought some 1.5 liters of Coke and Diet Coke and whatever. And then we assigned out to everybody. So we never know what people are going to turn up with, but you know, we kind of divide it into appetizers, salads and sides, dessert, and or drinks. And everybody just kind of gets a category, and they bring what they bring. And we have never had too little food. Like, we've always had more than enough. People are extraordinarily generous. They're really good cooks on my block. And it's an opportunity to meet new people, which I think is always good, get to know your neighbors, which is really good, and then they want to watch out for you and your kids. I mean, the neighbors are always out looking, and so when your kids are walking home, they're seeing them, and it's really good for them to keep an eye out. It helps keep a neighborhood safer. You get to meet everybody. We just loved it. So I heartily recommend you do this. I think, you know, if you want to do a couple of, you know, pull your next-door neighbor in, do it in the backyard. That's what we've been doing the last few years, maybe 10, 12 years. Share the costs up. It works out to about 40, 50 bucks a couple or a family. And everybody brings plenty of food. But it is just one of the highlights of the summer. So ours starts about 4:30 this afternoon, and I expect we won't be cleaning up till after 9. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Will joins us on the line from Stone Mountain. Hi, Will.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm having a block party. Well, how about you? Yeah?
Okay. I have about 13 and a half years left on my loan, so I know I'm at the point where I'm playing on the principal.
Uh-huh.
I've done a lot of renovation, and I just paid off my Home Depot and Lowe's loans, where I'm going to have an additional $400 to $600 a month. And I was going to start applying that toward my loan, but my sister-in-law said that I shouldn't do that because I wouldn't have any interest to write off on my taxes. How do you feel about that?
Are you actually getting a write-off on your taxes? Because something like 90 or 85% of Americans don't actually get to itemize on their taxes.
Yes, I am itemizing.
Okay. And what is your actual level of write-off?
Really, I don't know right now. I have a tax accountant that does all that.
I would say to you that you're pretty close to getting to really not having very much of a write-off left.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, the question is, how much are you saving by paying down the loan, right? So if you are get pretty far down, like we had early, you know, the Marlene called earlier and she only had 3 years left of her mortgage. I'm like, you're not even paying any interest anymore.
Yeah.
You probably are not paying that much in interest anymore.
Okay.
You've definitely passed the halfway point. So I guess I would talk to your accountant and see what the actual benefit or not benefit would be. But if you could save a year or two of payments,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a whole lot better than getting some sort of small write-off. I really do. Plus, I really think that mortgage interest rate deduction is going to go away at some point. It has to.
Okay.
So I wouldn't worry so much about it. If you have that extra money, and I would say first, I would really rather you make sure you have a really decent-sized emergency fund.
Well, I have 6 months.
6 months? Okay. So 6 months is good, and if you don't feel like you need any extra cash for anything, yeah, I mean, you could pay off your loan. What's your interest rate on the loan?
It's right at 6%.
So every dollar you prepay basically earns you 6%. I don't know where you're going to get that kind of return anywhere else.
Okay, so you think I should just go ahead and pay it off?
Yeah, I think if you can pay off your loan and you have plenty of extra cash sitting around and you're not hurting for investments, you don't have anywhere better to put your money, yeah, I think it's fine to pay off your house.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. 45 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Bill joins us on the line from Fayetteville. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on in your world?
Well, the world's pretty good down here, except we don't have those nice block parties. I wish that we had that going on. Maybe I could start.
Why don't you start one? Do you know your neighbors?
One of my neighbors is here right now, and we talked about it, and I think that's, you know, it's a great thing.
It's a great thing. Sure. You know, we just print up a flyer on colored paper. We send the kids out and down the neighborhood. We drop it off. And we even get calls like this morning. We already got some calls from people saying, is it too late? We're like, it's only too late if you miss it. Then it's too
exactly.
late.
Exactly. It's like your life. It's
you should,
too late if you miss it.
Yeah. You should definitely think about doing it before the end of the summer.
Yeah. Well, I think I will. I mean, to follow through on something, to just not talk about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to take a question that's coming under the radar, so to speak?
Sure.
Well, here's what the question is, and I don't want to babble too much. Let's say we're a new congressperson or a new senator, and we're up participating in the debacle in Washington. My question is pretty basic. Are these people, like say I'm a fireman, I'm required to go to school and learn. If I'm a doctor, I'm required to go to school and learn, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just wondering if the new Congress people and or senators have any training other than we give them the parliamentary procedure book and they look at their neighbors and they listen to the speaker and they just kind of assimilate it. I mean, I think at the minimum, each one of them should be required to take one course in finance and one in economics. That's just my own feeling. They're the staff. Rely on the staffers, the staffers, the staffers. Well, I don't think so.
You know, I think that that's a great idea. I'm a big proponent of having our elected representatives understand what it's like to be in real life. And what's sort of interesting is if you look at them, by the time they get to Washington, they've usually won several other elections. And my feeling is those elections tend to take you out of real life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been in Washington for a long time, I don't think you remember what real life is like. You certainly don't do your own grocery shopping. You don't have to go shop for health care, right?
No.
You don't have to have a high cost deductible plan where you're paying like, you know, $5,000 or $7,000 out of pocket so that you can bring your premiums down. Like, none of that ever crosses your path. And I think it's really important to have that kind of constant contact. I read something this morning about how Michelle Obama feels really, you know, trapped living in the Washington bubble.
It was her biggest, she does.
Her biggest concern when she got there, and how Barack Obama's like our first sitting president who actually demanded that he be able to keep his BlackBerry. He can't send anything out on it, but he can receive information from all of his friends, and he feels like there's no way. It's really hard to stay in touch with the average person when you're sitting in Washington talking to elected officials all the time. It's kind of an interesting thing. I think your idea is good.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there are some requirements for that, but
I haven't heard of any.
I would doubt that.
I haven't heard of any.
So,
but it's a great idea.
Newly elected congressperson, will your staffers be feeding you this kind of stuff?
I guess so. I mean, you seem to have a lot of people around you when you're elected.
Yeah, but do you get my point? Are they educating you on finance? Let's say you're a farmer.
I think you're educated in for whatever you bring to the table. So some people are business people, and they probably know how, if they've been successful.
Exactly.
They know how finance works. I mean, if Jack Welch, you know, the former chairman of GE, went to Washington, I wouldn't give him a course in basic finance. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it would be great to know that there are some classes going on, or at least some sort of constant updating and educating where they're seeing sort of what the real world is going through.
Because
I'm just not sure that it's that easy to stay in touch with the real world in D.C., and I would love for people to get an idea. And my sense of it is that the way that they do stay in touch is from their big donors, but I think that's only one section of America that they should be listening to. And I think there are others out there that are equally valid. Thanks so much for your call, Bill, and good luck with that block party. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. We're going to take some more calls when we come back. We've got a prize pack to give away. Mark Tytel of GetOutStartOver.com has a story to share about something that went on with a short sale in his office this week. That's coming up next hour. Got a great show today. 49 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
Ready to the Elise Glink Show, our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. My website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Mike joins us on the line from Jasper. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Never been a fan of block parties, so I can't really contribute too much to that subject, but I thought I knew a lot about credit scores, and I always had pride in having a very good credit score, and I'm retired in the last couple of 3 years, kind of a little bit at a time, but I just recently went on a web-based service that I have a free subscription to, the lower end of it, where I get a free credit score, and it told me that my last credit score was 835, and my present credit score is 720. And
that's a big jump. And
it is a big jump. And I looked at the credit report, and I only have two active items. They're both credit cards. I've never missed a payment, never been late. I don't have a mortgage. My home is paid for. I have a lot of assets. I know that really doesn't contribute anything, but I am retired, and I was looking at, I thought maybe it was income to debt ratio or something, because just about all of my retirement funds are in 401ks and IRAs, and my wife has a very nice pension, and so we live off of that, and I basically have no income except for Social Security.
But you don't have any debts.
I'm sorry?
You don't have any debts.
No debt.
So what could be wrong with your, you know, debt to income ratio? You don't have any debt. So really, there's one or two possibilities. If you've looked at the credit report and there are no mistakes on it.
Didn't see any mistakes. There's no negative items on there.
Now, one possibility is that when you get a free credit score, it's not really the right credit score. It's not a really valid credit score.
Right.
So I would suggest you go to annualcreditreport.com,
mm-hmm.
and I would look up, you probably haven't done that this year, so I'd pull a copy of your credit history from each of the credit reporting bureaus, and then you can pay for a credit score. And if you want the score that's used by my most lenders, it's going to be the Equifax score. That's the most similar. But if you want to, you can also pull the Experian score or the TransUnion score. It'll cost you about $9 each.
Right. This one was supposed to come from Experian.
Yeah,
through this website. But they also offered me a subscription, paid subscription, if I wanted to improve my credit score.
I think it sounds like a scam. I don't trust it. I would go to annualcreditreport.com. Pull the credit history from Experian, pull their real credit score that you get from there, and see if it's the same. I bet it's not, and your credit is just fine. Sounds like they're trying to hook you into paying for something you probably don't need.
Right. Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great afternoon. 59 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more answers to your questions next on News Talk WSB.
It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB, brought to you by Mark Keitel with Realty First.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. But pretty soon, we're going 12 to 2. It's almost football season. Yahoo! 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're talking about block parties and the economy and what a stinky, stinky week Wall Street had. Live online all the time at Think thehinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Check out the new Equifax Finance blog. It is an awesome place to get great free financial information. All right, let's go back to the phones. Kathleen joins us on the line from Norcross. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Elise.
Hi, what's going on in your world?
Well, I have a bit of a dilemma. I am an owner in a condominium development, and I've been here more than 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is that the property values, as with other types of real estate, have plummeted.
Yeah.
And my unit has lost more than 50% of its value.
I'm so sorry.
It's important to communicate that it is an older development built in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It is quickly deteriorating because the board here has not been financially responsible. My dilemma is that we did have quite a few foreclosures in here. That situation is down to, I think, two or three now.
Okay.
But because of the, you know, the fact that, again, the tax base in here, we were right, you know, we were selling in probably between 120 and 140. It's, you can get, a unit in here considerably less than that.
Hmm.
So I have basically lost all of my equity.
I'm sorry.
And this, like a lot of people, was my nest egg.
Mm-hmm.
The other aspect of this is that several of the owners have literally just picked up and moved out so that we have some vacant units.
Yep.
And so here I sit. I've invested money remodeling, and I'm trying to determine at this point in time, because I'm close to retirement age and I'm a single mom, I don't really have a nest egg other than what was, you know, what I put into this unit. I do have an ARM, a five-year ARM, that I got a two-rate renewal. So my rate right now is like 3.75.
Yeah, probably go down a little bit after, actually.
But there's no point in me refinancing.
You won't be able to.
No, right. So from my vantage point, I guess my question is, should I sit tight, as, you know, many people have commented to me, well, if you just hang in there another 2 years. But I don't think there's anybody, you know, that can forecast that we're going to bounce back that quickly.
What are you asking me?
Well, I guess if you found yourself in a position like this, is it feasible for somebody like myself, rather than sit and wait for an undetermined period of time, should I either try to sell it at a loss and just, you know, get out of here? Because the other variable here is the fact that we, you know, we don't have a lot of reserve funds because there are fewer people that are making their association dues on time.
Okay, so here's the situation. What are properties actually selling for?
Candidly, probably in the 50s and 40s.
Okay, and mm-hmm. and how much of a mortgage do you have?
Right now, I have about $50,000 mortgage.
Okay. So if you try to get out, it sounds like you'd be trying to get out at a short sale. And
yeah.
If you have any assets at all, the bank is going to ask you to pay back the loan in full.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you can just get out and then start over somewhere else. So you can try doing that, or you can just try to... You don't even have to do it a short sale. You can just say you're selling at $45,000 or $50,000 and wait for somebody to buy it from you, and then you'll be out of this development.
Mm-hmm.
The money you've lost is gone. I don't see it coming back.
Yeah, that's the harsh reality.
I mean, the place in 2 or 3 years might be worth $50,000 or $60,000, and you'll have paid down your loan even more. So
right.
In 2 or 3 years, you might be right set up. But what if the property needs significant improvements and they put on a special assessment and they try to get everybody to pay in more and they ask you to pay $10,000, so you've now lost that advantage. So
right.
You're really in kind of a horrible situation. I feel
it
for
is.
You. I
it
feel
is,
for you.
Elise, and I've tried to look at it from different perspectives, and yet I feel like I'm trapped. The only good news is that my mortgage payment is low enough to be affordable, but the condo fee is actually more than my mortgage.
Right. Well, the condo fee is what's going to kill you. Plus, if people aren't actually paying, somebody else may not really be able to get a mortgage for the property, especially if it's that low. So you don't have an FHA loan because you have an adjustable rate mortgage. So at least you're benefiting there. I think you should try and sell and get out of there. Doesn't sound like the kind of place that you're going to want to live in forever.
No, definitely not.
And it could deteriorate further before it gets better, and you could be at a significant financial loss. So I would price it to sell, get out, even if you have to pay money to pay off your mortgage in full, and go find somewhere else to live while you still have a job and you have some flexibility.
Okay.
It's horrible to say that, but I just think you should, as Mark Tichtel, who comes into the office all the time and says, get out, start over now.
Yeah.
That's why his website is called getoutstartover.com, because he's just like, there are times where you have to just get out.
Yeah, it's kind of the grim reality. And, I thought, well, maybe there's something that hadn't occurred to me when I'm trying to decide.
No, there's nothing. There's no silver lining here that you haven't thought of, Kathleen. The problem is that Atlanta, way overbuilt. If you can buy for $50,000, you can buy in a new development, or you're going to buy in a 70s development, buy in the new development, right?
Right.
So you're being sapped by all of these other developments that actually have a ridiculous amount of excess capacity and are a lot newer than what you're trying to sell. So
exactly.
it just says to me, get out now.
Okay. I needed that input, and I definitely appreciate it.
You're welcome. I wish I had better news for you. I really do.
You did too.
Let me know how it goes, okay?
Okay, I sure will, Elise.
All
Thank
right.
you so much.
You're welcome. Take it easy. 14 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Jim joins us on the line from Stockbridge. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how's it going today, Elise?
It's good. What's on your mind today?
There is a great opportunity for your listeners on CNBC, the website, to start playing the $1 million challenge. And you can for you yourself, and being a financial professional and commentator, it's a great opportunity to link your Twitter and Facebook account and give people ideas. I mean, don't know how much of a market timer you are.
I'm not a market timer at all. I don't believe in market timing. Are you a market timer?
Absolutely.
Well,
I buy when it's low and I sell when it's high.
Well,
it's a good time right there.
Yeah, I think that's great. Is this the low right now?
Oh, no. No, no.
Oh, this is not the low. Is this the high?
No, we're going to go, I don't know, I'd say the next 2 weeks we're going to go down to about Dow 8,800 or Dow 9,000.
In the next 2 weeks, why do you think that? I mean, that's very interesting. Why do you think that?
Well, because after the last recovery, March 2009, the market finally broke above the 200-day average at about that point, and it's basically doing a big retrace. If you looked at Fibonacci lines and that type of stuff, I would say that's where it's going to go. That's where the supply will dry up, and the real Wall Street professionals will begin to, create the demand at that level. So everyone who's in there right now in the market, I mean, hope that works out for you. But
all right, so you're the kind of person who should play the $1 million challenge, which is all about, I believe, building a portfolio and who's going to make the most money with it. And there are a lot of Wall Street pros who play this as a little game. And then I think it's the person who makes the most money wins the $1 million, right?
Yeah, after about, I think it's a 10 to 12-week contest.
Right. This is so not what I would ever do. But I am all for it, and I'm all for you doing it. But I think it really is about market timing. Now, I do believe that the stock market is going for another big dip. And I look at 1933 and 1937. In 1933, we all know what happened, right? The Great Depression. And in 1937, we had a redux. Why? Because the government stopped spending. Everybody tried to reduce debt. And we ended up in a massive second recession that lasted all the way through World War II, where we basically had to mechanize the country, get women out of the house and into the workforce, and we sent, millions of our troops abroad. I don't think we have anybody left to send out into the workforce. Everything's pretty mechanized right now. And so if we fall it's going to be pretty painful to get out of. We're already looking at what a no-job recovery looks like. It's been this way since the year 2000. And so I don't disagree with your conclusions. I just don't know that it's going to happen in the next 2 weeks. Could happen in the next 2 months. Could happen 6 months from now. But I do feel very strongly, and I've said on the show for years, that I don't think we're anywhere close to getting out of what's really going on. And the fact that Wall Street's been making money just seems somewhat beside the point. It would be nice if it mattered, but it seems beside the point.
And I think your comparison to 1937 is an excellent comparison.
Well, thank you, but I don't get $1 million for that. I wish I did.
And you know something? And MSN Money used to have the chart so you can go all the way back to October of 1928, and for some reason they've shut that down. But I've got copies and prints of every tick from that point all the way forward. I'll tell you something. It's very, very interesting to look at markets predating all this technology and high-frequency trading. It's a world completely, almost different, but we can't change that. We're human and human nature. That's what dictates how markets go.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see what happens, Jim, but I wish you luck, and I wouldn't bet against you. You sound like you got a lot on the ball. Good luck on the challenge. 404-872-0750. Larry joins us on the line from Swanee. Hey, Larry.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just listening to your show, I had to chime in about what you said a little while ago about one-year arms.
Sure.
I didn't catch the whole thing. Just wanted your pros and cons on how I'm handling my mortgage.
Well, we have a couple of investment properties that are now, they were with five-year arms.
Okay.
And then those adjusted to one-year arms.
Well, and that's what my mortgage did.
Okay, and so we have historically always had five-year arms. I think Sam and I have had a five-year arm since they first basically started making them back in the early 90s.
Right.
And the only time we went to 15-year fixed was when we went and got the 4.25%, and then we refinanced to 3.75% on a 15-year. Now we have 14 years left in that loan, and we pay extra anyway. So the reason we did that is I just felt like there was no way that I was ever going to get a lower locked-in rate than 3.75%. I was wrong. See, Jim, market timing, you never know. But you can now get a 15-year if you've got great credit and enough cash and enough, you know, equity in your house, you can actually get a 15-year loan for about 3.25%, 3.75%.
Well, ever since 2010, my five-year arm came up in February of 2010, and I was kind of dismayed when I tried to refinance. Of course, I found my house depreciated $20,000, and I was kind of dismayed. But then, lo and behold, the mortgage company sent me the new rate for a one-year arm, and it was...
What are you paying, like 3.25%? Yeah,
now,
I mean...
Now it's 3%. I let it roll over. This year, I let it roll over into another
You can
one
roll
year.
Over again if you want, but I think this well will dry up after another year or so.
Okay.
So I think it'll eventually have to. So you have to decide if this is a low enough rate to lock in, and if you're going to live in that house long enough for it to make sense. I'm not leaving the property that is our primary residence anytime soon. My son's got... Michael's got 6 years till he goes off to college. And at that point in time, we'll see where we are in the world, but I could easily see staying here for at least 10 years. So we went with a 15-year loan. We'll probably pay it off in 12 and be done with it. You have to decide how long you're going to be there. But if you're going to be somewhere for 7 years or more and you can afford it and have the credit and have the equity, this is a great time to lock in. It's an unbelievable interest rate. 21 minutes past the hour. When we come back, we're doing a prize pack, so stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
7 minutes past the hour, we've got our prize pack to give away. Guess what? It includes tickets to see Earth, Wind, and Fire. Awesome in concert September 23rd. The value, $450. You also get a pair of tickets to see Roger Daltrey in concert performing The Who's Tommy on September 15th at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Presented by ASO Presents, a Superior Plumbing gift certificate for a full house plumbing inspection. And those Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets, September 23rd at Chastain Park Amphitheater, also presented by ASO Presents. If you want this amazing package, be the fifth caller now. 404-741-0750. Be nice to Clint. He's going to take your call. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We're going to have more of your questions next. And Mark Tytel on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Kling on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
36 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. Little Stevie Nicks. It's just a great song. 404-872-0750. Online all the time. ThinkGlink.com. THINKGLINK.com. If you're not following me on Twitter, there's a great conversation going on about block parties online as well. Thank you, Lois, for actually retweeting that idea. All right, 37 minutes past the hour, Diane from Jefferson, Georgia, is the winner of a prize pack. Good luck, or I should say congratulations. You're going to have a great time. Let's continue on with our calls. Sean joins us on the line from Jonesboro. Hey, Sean.
Good afternoon, Elise.
What's going on?
I got a similar situation to a previous call, the one with the condo. I live in a community. Basically, my house is worth about half of what we owe on it.
I'm sorry.
It's a little more than monetary situation. I mean, I've had a homicide next door about a year and a half ago, had a stabbing down at the end of the street about a week ago. My neighbor's been burglarized. I've had stuff stolen off my porch. And ironically, I'm a police officer, and my car's been shot twice. So it's really gone beyond monetary. It's really just peace of mind. And we're going to move, but what I'm trying to determine is, you know, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but just trying to get an idea as far as like a time frame of when you think the housing market may improve to the point where at least we could break even and move, sell the house and get out of there.
I'm not sure. It could be another 15, 20 years.
Really?
I mean, it's worth half of what you owe.
Correct.
So other than paying down your loan a whole lot.
Yeah. What we owe, it's... I mean, the house we have isn't very expensive, I mean, compared to probably many others, but, I mean, there's still a gap of about $40,000, and I don't have that kind of money.
So it just speaks to the deterioration. I mean, you're a police officer. I mean, I'm sure your neighbors know this.
But what the problem is what we've got is where I live at one end of the street, we've got long-term homeowners. There's just about six of us.
Yeah.
The rest of it's either foreclosures or renters, and I understand what it is. I mean, these people are picking up these houses so cheaply, and they're using it's an investment property. You know, and if they've got a pulse, they're throwing them in there as long as that check's rolling in. That's all they concern themselves with.
Yeah, but it's really destroying the community for everybody else. I wish I could say to you that in 5 years it's going to be back, but I don't really have that kind of a crystal ball. Nobody does, and the numbers that I keep hearing about from Fannie and Freddie and FHA of the unsold inventory, the shadow inventory, it's not even on the market yet. Those numbers are so big that I just can't even imagine that your property is going to come back from this, at least anytime soon. And so doing a short sale and getting out is probably going to be your best bet.
Now, a short sale, I mean, I've heard that term used before, but what does that entail?
It basically means that you have to, if your house is worth half of what you owe, you would go to your lender and say, I have to sell, I have to get out of here, and my house is only worth about half of what I owe, and they would say to you, well, we're going to get a broker price opinion and make sure that that's really the case, and then you go and list your house for sale, you try to sell it, and if you can sell it, we'll tell you what we'll approve the sales price at.
Okay.
And then they sell it. You get, then there's a discussion about getting that amount forgiven by the bank, and you move on with your life. But you then had a short sale, which means your credit will be compromised. You'll have to rent for a number of years, and you have to think about that because I don't know if that affects your job.
Yeah, my wife and I have good credit. We're both employed. We're not obviously behind in any payments or anything like that. So,
can you rent the property and move?
Yeah, we could. My wife and I have discussed it, but unfortunately, the area where we live, I doubt very highly we get good renters.
Yeah.
I mean, is what I've seen so far.
Yeah. So
I'm just going to be contributing to the demise of what's already going on.
Yeah. I think it's a problem. I mean, you know, you can call, I hate to say this, you can call the cops on these owners if they're not taking care of property or if the you know, if there are problems in the neighborhood that their tenants are causing, there may be some, you know, laws in place. You would know, of course, better than me, that you can draw on. If it's a community, like, is there a homeowners association with this community?
This is an older subdivision. They constructed in the early 70s, and some of the houses now are just going so pathetically cheap. I mean, basically a car payment would be higher than what you can pick these houses up. So a lot of investors are picking them up, and, you know, they're not doing very much to them. They're just doing the bare minimum, and then they're putting renters in them.
You can't beat this. Sean, you can't beat this. You're a good guy, I can tell, but you can't beat this. You're not going to be able to save this. So now it's a question of saving yourself, and you will trash your credit, but you'll be able to get out of here and get to a better neighborhood. And I think if you have children and you want to protect them and your wife, you've got to do that.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
You should start that process of a short sale.
A short sale may be an option then. Yeah, I'm just at this point, it's peace of mind. We don't have any. And
well, then you can't live in your house, right?
No. I mean, we've done a lot of improvements over the years. We've been there over 15 years.
Yeah.
And we hate to do it, but I don't know what else to do at this point.
There's really nothing you can do other than have an armed, you know, cotillion on your block at all times, keeping the peace, and that's just not going to happen. So you're going to have to take some strides and protect your family. The hit is going to be to your credit, but you have a job. Your wife has a job. And, you know, you'll get through this. It won't be easy. It's going to cause long-term financial damage, but your safety is much more important.
Correct. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Elise.
Let me know what happens. It's you're in a horrible, horrible spot, and my heart really goes out to you and to your wife. Jim joins us on the line from Woodstock. Jim, welcome to the Elise Klink Show.
Hi, Elise. I'm a second-time caller, and once again, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Nice to have you back. What's on your mind today?
And like I told the screener, I said, I wish I knew somebody like you that was intelligent and knowledgeable that I could discuss higher-level issues with, but they seem far and few between.
Well, thank you. That's a lovely compliment, and feel free to call back anytime.
my comment was about the people that are walking away from their mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my insight is, considering inflation, if they can afford to pay for their homes, I think that would be a good idea, because if we hit a high inflationary environment like Germany did in the 1920s,
mm-hmm.
One of the hardest hit people were the renters and the fixed income people.
Yep, it always is.
And I have a little statistic here from Germany that I read in an old book. In 1914, 1,000 German marks could be purchased for $250. In 1922, those same 1,000 German marks could be bought for $50. So there was like an 80% inflation rate. The next year, in 1923, $50 could buy 2.1 trillion marks.
Wow.
So this is what happens when countries print money. Germany probably printed a lot more than we are. I don't know.
Well, Zimbabwe's printed. I mean, if you want to bring it up to sort of more modern times, Zimbabwe has mm-hmm. gone through that, and people there are starving from it. They're literally taking barrelfuls of cash. And you remember this happened in Russia as well. They were barrelfuls of cash to just buy a couple of loaves of bread.
It's currency after currency.
Mm-hmm.
But what had happened in Germany, the savings and debt was wiped out. The renters were hit because, you know, they were subject to rates going up. The fixed income people, of course, were hit. Business transactions, nearly impossible to conduct unless they were done on a speculative basis. And from what I heard, people would go into grocery stores, and when they got to the checkout, there would be a sign there that they would add like 25% to everything because they couldn't update the prices fast enough.
Right.
So I think if you have a home, and you made a contract and a commitment to buy it, and you are a little bit underwater, I think that you may just be better off. And, you know, I don't have a crystal ball or anything, but I think you may be better off staying there rather than renting. Because if you're renting, you're naked. You're vulnerable to whatever the renter charges.
Well, there's a whole bunch of other things going on. So you just heard Sean's call, I'm sure, while you were holding,
mm-hmm.
who's a police officer,
yes.
whose neighborhood has been decimated by people who have gone into foreclosure, and investors have swooped it up, and there's been a stabbing, a homicide, people are burglarizing it.
Yeah.
There's no peace of mind. He can't stay there. It doesn't matter. Money doesn't matter in that situation. When you're looking at a civil unrest, which is what that block sounds like it's in, you know, you're not dealing with, it's not a question of like how much money it might cost you to rent if inflation goes through the roof. What you're talking about is protecting your kids from being murdered in their beds. I mean, it's
right.
really a very different discussion.
Well, I hope we don't see that, but...
I got to tell you, I'm a little worried about what's going on around the world right
yeah,
now with regard
too.
To civil unrest. I mean, you look at Germany, just to use your example of a country, Germany has had 60 car fires. They're just setting cars on fire in, like, the last
mm-hmm.
week. You looked at what happened in France a couple of years ago, and 1,500 cars were set on fire one summer. There are areas, we had these flash mobs in Britain a couple of weeks ago, last week, I think, you know, and it spread from London and it went all over the north, Birmingham and other places where large minority populations are. And I mean by not minority, I mean foreigners who are living now in these countries. I have to say, you know, it makes me very nervous about what could happen here if people get hungry enough and desperate enough.
Right.
And I think you saw what happened in Germany when people got hungry enough and desperate enough. In the absence of true leadership, they will follow anybody. And I really would like to figure out a way to avoid what happened to Germany. That would really not be a good thing for this country. Thank you so much for your call, Jim. Again, follow up anytime. Happy to have you on the show. 404-872-0750. Mark Titel is going to be with us in just a moment. We've got news, weather, and traffic coming up. And in today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution, I don't know if you checked this out yet, but there's a special report that looks at the multi-billion-dollar transportation wish list for Georgia and what the proposed projects might do to your commute. It's a great story. Check it out. It is 13 minutes before the hour on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
54 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Welcome back, everybody. Mark Titel of GetOutStartOver.com is here with our short sale and foreclosure information for the week. Mark, welcome back. We have had a bunch of people talking about short sales. I don't know if you heard the call from the police officer just a moment ago, but in Jonesboro, I mean, that was just really devastating.
Yes, and absolutely. A lot of police officers and teachers finding themselves in the middle of those neighborhoods because for the past 10 or 15 years, we're promoting to live in all kinds of neighborhoods and giving discounts to the teachers, and those are neighborhoods that got hit the most this time. And therefore, I have quite few officers and teachers that are doing the short sale and going through the process trying to help themselves out on the situation.
Well, you also have a short sale that's going on in Jonesboro this week to tell us about. What's going on with that?
Well, what we have in Jonesboro is a similar situation. People already left the property. They already moved out and living somewhere else. And we have a fully approved file, meaning that it is ready to be approved because the values are there. The documentation and accepted terms are all there to the bank. But the negotiator called us back and said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're going to have to wait for another 30 to 60 days before we can make a decision because I'm so backed up. I have so many files and I'm working now July and June files as opposed to August files.
All right, let me just jump in and say, so you've got a buyer. You've got a buyer?
Yes, I do.
And the buyer and the bid actually meets the terms.
Yes.
That the bank set out, and they can't approve it because they're 2 months backed up?
That's correct. That is their answer.
Okay, well, I'd like to say that these, I don't know who these negotiators are, but my husband Sam, who everybody knows is a real estate attorney, had a very similar thing happen with a short sale that he was handling for somebody where we even were able to escalate it to the C-level suite. And they put their person on it, and that negotiator didn't even call him back. And the buyer finally threw up her hands and walked away isn't coming back.
That is exactly what could happen here, because 30 to 60 days is a very long time.
Forever.
Absolutely. And such inefficiency on the bank end is causing all of us to lose more money and devalued all the properties across the board.
Now, I don't know what these banks are thinking. And then you read that Bank of America is going to fire 3,500 and maybe as many as 10,000 people to make their numbers look better for Wall Street.
That's
so that their stock price is going to stop falling. And yet, those people could be the negotiators. And not only that, they've outsourced. We should be very clear. These banks have outsourced a lot of these negotiators.
That is correct. And also, we have to keep in mind that the short sales overall take less time to complete than foreclosures. And what the Deutsche Bank came up with their analysis, and they said that the short sales are done in 12 months, where the foreclosures takes about 17 months to close.
It's unbelievable what's going on here. Well, this is only going to add to the backlog. So you said, did you tell the negotiator that your buyer's not going to wait two more months?
That's right. We have a special plan how to approach this particular problem. And we're going to contact them every week, and we're going to send them emails. Also, we're going to file a complaint with OCC and try to see if they can intervene and help us expedite this, because nobody really wants to lose more money or more time.
You know, it's interesting. Given that the banks only lose 20 to 30% with a short sale, but can lose 50 to 80% on a foreclosure, I guess I just don't understand the math here on pushing back and waiting.
Absolutely. That's why when you go with the firm that specializes in short sales like us, we were able to narrow down to 5 months from list to close, as opposed to 12 months on average that takes every bank to do the short sales.
Georgia is really in a tough place. It's a little bit like Illinois, my home state, where there's just a ridiculous number of short sales and foreclosures and distressed properties. And more so, it's working a little better in other parts of the country. Georgia, though, I know you were very optimistic a few months ago we were going to get it down to 60 days total.
That's right.
But it's not happening, is it?
Not a reality. And that is a checkup today. With all those reports coming back, we already know that 60 to 90 days is probably unrealistic expectation. But if we could get there, everybody would save a lot of money.
Oh, gosh. Mark, thank you so much for that update. We'll talk to you again next week. I really, it's interesting, even somebody like you who has so much experience with short sales and foreclosures, and you are getting some deals done, you, like my husband Sam, has been a real estate attorney for 25 years, you're still running into a wall as well. All right, we'll find out a little bit more next week with Mark's on-the-ground report for short sales and foreclosures. To contact him for his expert advice, go to getoutstartover.com. The music's playing, everybody. It means our time is up. Have a great Sunday, everybody. We'll see you again soon.